special ways in which he comes to us. Our break, verse 24, a disciple is not above his master, a teacher, nor a slave above the master. It's enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. And then Jesus talks about what's happened to him in his missionary world, and he says to us who want to be missionaries with him, don't expect it to be different for you. If they call the master of the house Beelzebul, Baal is Baal, the Canaanite god, and Zebul means, it's disputed, but one of the probable meanings is prince in Canaanite, Western Semitic. So, and Baal-Zebul was the god of Ekron. Second book of Kings, is it? Yes, chapter 1, verse 2, mentioned there. So it's a name for, from the Jewish point of view, it's a Canaanite god. So it's a pagan god, so it's the devil, another name for evil. So if they call the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of the household? So we've already seen the disciples are to go where the master goes, say what he says and do what he does, and they'll be put on trial because of him and hated because of him. And that's a warning for us in our mission. Take him. Chapter 10, verse 26. Having spoken about persecution, Jesus says, have no fear of them. This is all about fear. Have no fear of those who persecute and everything we've seen in the passage before. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered. Nothing secret that will not become known. Paul says in the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 5, God will bring to light the things hidden in darkness and disclose the purposes of the heart. So if someone is persecuting you or persecuting me, and there's something in what they're saying, let's learn from it. Let's learn from the criticism. Let's take it insofar as it's appropriate. Insofar as it's not true, and the attacker or the persecutor or the accuser is actually misreading or misunderstanding, it won't do you ultimately any harm, is what Jesus is saying, because truth will be seen. So our task when we're being criticised, if we can have the love and the faith to do it, is to listen to the criticism, learn from it what's appropriate, and resist the rest, knowing that if it's not true, it doesn't ultimately matter, because truth will be seen, as Jesus says here. Don't be afraid of them. And then what I say to you in the dark is the missionary thing again. Tell it in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. This is about life, this message of the gospel. It's about truth. Say it, present it, be it, trust it. And don't change face to fit in with what's politically correct or whatever. So he says, don't fear those who kill the body and cannot kill the soul. Your soul, it's a good word, I think it's coming back into vogue again. Your being, your inner life, your real, deep, your longing self. They can kill your body, they can't kill your soul. Very important sentence. Rather, fear him, and he means God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. I'm going to talk about hell for about 20 minutes. I've been wanting to give this sermon for a long time and you're going to cop it. Hell. Hellfire and brimstone sermons have gone out and they get the adrenaline moving. So, he who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Now that's a pretty dramatic sermon Jesus is giving already. And so far, you'd think, oh, big help. Don't be afraid of all these people. The worst they can do is crucify you, butcher you, break down your work, take away your reputation and chuck you in an unmarked grave. Don't worry about them. If you're going to worry, you lot, if you want something to be afraid of, I'll show you something. Fear him who can thrust you into hell forever, body and soul. Is that pretty convincing? So don't worry about the rest of us. Focus on God. Look what God can do. But look at the next sentence. Hellfire sermons stopped at that verse. Why didn't they read the next two verses? There's a comparison. Don't be afraid of men. Fear God. Okay, you won me. So we look around God. And then Jesus says to the little kid next to him, what's the going price for sparrows? And the kid says, a penny for two. Thanks. And then Jesus says, aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? And all the kids thought, where does he know all this? How does he keep up with all the local stuff that the little kids know? Aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? Not one of them falls to the ground without your Father knowing. Even the hairs on your head are all counted. First time I saw the meaning of that was when I was in one of these little places where mums and babies, don't ask me what I was doing there, but priests end up everywhere. So it's what do you call these places where they're for babies and iron, you know what to call them, you would. Well, whatever, they were there for hospital work though, like, you know, clinic of some kind, especially for mums and babies. And God, anyhow, don't worry, I'm in there too. And all the mums are talking at this occasion, talking about how many teeth their baby had. And I was thinking, God preserve me from such conversations. No, a celibate response. But how it occurred to me, I don't know, but it did, I thought, not one mother was telling the others how many hairs on the kid's head. And of course, I'm glad they weren't. But can you see the image? Even mums who are so proud of their little babies aren't that doting that they've counted every one of the hairs on their head. To know that, you'd have to be wrapped in your kid and a bit this way. Well, he's saying God's like that. God is so caring. He actually knows every... He's numbered all your hairs. He's got nothing to do in all eternity except count your hairs. He's so wrapped in you. So look at the next sentence. So do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of men, because they can't do much to you finally. Only be afraid of God. Okay, you got rid of men, women, all that lot. You've only got God left and Jesus said, well, but what on earth are you doing being afraid of God for? Heaven's sake, he's a softie. Sparrows fall to the ground and God's up there moping. And he's counting all the hair. Don't be afraid of God. You're of more value than many sparrows. That's a powerful passage, isn't it? Really. To shake us to realise fear of God is really... Okay, we project God, we create God in our image, we've been given images of God and all that, but this is Jesus' God we've got here. There's no point of being afraid of anything except God. But why be afraid of God? Thus says the Lord, do not fear. This is Isaiah 43. Do not fear. I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You're mine. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Don't fear, for I am with you. Already in Matthew's Gospel, don't be afraid, was said to Joseph. Don't be afraid, was said to the disciples in the boat. Don't be afraid, will be said to the people of the Transfiguration. Don't be afraid, will be said at the Resurrection. And Jesus will say only in Matthew, in chapter 18, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. It's not God's will for anyone to be lost. So if we are lost, it's not God's doing. So let's not be afraid of God. God's the place we can always go to when everything